This is Near FM
90.3. Celine, tell us, please, how you came to encounter words that created the writing inside of you. Because one of the poems I heard today just really baffled me as to how much you made me feel through your words. So how did it all start for you, the journey to writing?
Well, I think everybody, when they come, well, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself, I can't speak for everybody. We have experiences in life. I write about real life experiences. And I've been through a lot in my time. And from a young teenager, a lot of my friends said, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I always had it in my mind, one day I will write a book. So I've turned 50 now. So I thought I need to start writing these books. And I put on my LinkedIn, I need to start writing a book, or I don't have a clue where to start. Can anyone help me? So loads of people come in my inbox, but the first person was a guy called Adrian McKenzie, and he runs Golden Child Promotions Publishing. He contacted me and made it all sound so simple. So I joined his team, bought a membership, and he helped me through it all, and later on asked me to be a director. So how I got into actually writing poems, well, let me go back. We had this book, The Raising of the 144,000. It is a collaboration with people of the Golden Child Promotions Publishing, and six of us collaborated on that book. So that was my introductory chapter. So I sort of gave like an overall picture of my setting, of how I grew up with my mum, my brother, and how it was in my home, touching on a couple of issues like abuse, because this is something I want to highlight, abuse and rape. And basically, that's how my first chapter came about. I went to a gathering, a protest, if you want to call it. It was about women, historical rape cases, and women coming forward, talking their truth. So I'd recorded some of these women. So I was just amazed by the poems, amazed by the words, and, you know, you really felt their pain. So a few days later, I was putting up some of these videos on my socials, and I was inspired. I just had these poems just coming in my head from nowhere. And I was waking up like 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, getting my phone out and just writing these poems. And I must have written between October and now about 100 poems. So I have got a sort of a book, which I wanted to of poems, which I want to follow on from the Trials and Trials and Tribulations. And I've called that Trials and Revelations because I'm going to be telling you a bit more through poetry about my situation and what I went through. So this is what I'm planning to do, and this is how I got into writing. I still feel sort of fresh to it. I'm not sure if I'm a writer, if I'm a good poet. I'm still doubting myself because I didn't really finish school. When I should have been at school, I was working. You know, they thought I was going to school. I went into care because I left home early and went into care. And I was in my own place at 15 years old. So I sort of brought myself up, and, you know, my education sort of went on the back shelf because I was getting my own place. I was interested in working and getting stuff for my place. And I didn't feel school was beneficial to me. And I went through a few things at school, which I didn't think was beneficial either to me. So I weren't really a school person. So when it comes to writing and things like that, I feel like a fish out of water. But I know how to express, and I know what I want to say. And I think I've been through what I've been through for a reason. And it isn't to keep it to myself, it's to share it. And I'm hoping to inspire people. I'm hoping to encourage other women that have been through abuse and rape to write their books. Because the healing I've received from writing and going through it, I thought I'd healed. My abuse happened like when I was six, well, firstly when I was about 9, 10, and then again when I was 16. So it's years, and, you know, I thought I'd gone over it. I battled with it, with depression and things like that. I thought I'd gotten over it. But when I started writing, I struggled to cry. So when I started writing and going through over some of my situations and writing the poems, you know, the tears that came, you know, I realised you're not healed. You never really get over it. You just have to live with it and live to get through it. You know, you don't get over something like that. And I feel much better after having that cry. I feel much better. I feel a release has come from writing them poems and getting things off my chest and getting it out into the universe.
First of all, thank you for sharing your truth with us, because that's what this is all about, how people got into writing. You said it wasn't a school thing, it wasn't an academic thing. Yet, you are a poet, you are a writer. It was right there inside of you. Do you think it was waiting for all the avalanche of trouble to happen to you before it came out? All of a sudden, when things happen to you, the creativity inside of you, which must have always been there, came out. Because, I mean, could you write 100 poems within a certain number of weeks? It's impossible unless you're gifted.
Yes, I was writing these poems and I was sending it to my colleague, Adrian, and he's just shocked. He's saying, where's all this come from? What, you've been hiding all this. Where's it coming from?
Oh my
God.
So,
like, you don't believe it. And he said, you've inspired me. So he's written his poems now. He said, you really inspired me, like, you know, because he's seen my journey, he knows my journey. He was frustrated with me with this first chapter. I mean, my chapter's about 7,000 words at least. And he was frustrated because the amount, I finished it and I gave it him. And then I've read it and I've took it back and I keep doing it over and I keep, he said, you're unbelievable. It was fine in the first place, but I keep changing it and keep, you know, adding to it and making it better and better. I think I'm just a bit of a, trying to be a perfectionist.
But that's what a writer does, and they're constantly re-editing their work. So that is the sign of a writer to me. That's a sign of a writer, always making it better.
Yeah. So he was like astounded because he's known me for a couple of years, and you know, I've struggled to do the chapter, and he's seeing me sending these poems every morning. Like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And what do you think of this? You know, and he couldn't believe it. Like, where is it coming from? Where you been hiding it? So
Now, there's something I wanted to try to pick out from all that you've said. And just to confirm for the listeners, because as I said before, many people come through to writing in a different way. Some people's discovered in their primary school, the teacher says you can do this, but yours is in a different way.
Like I said, I didn't finish school. I was supposed to be going to work. I was down the road. I was in a hostel because I left home early because of the abuse in my home. You know, I left the day I got abused. I was whipped with wires and I never went back home again. And, you know, they thought I was going to school. I was leaving the house like I was going to school, but I was down the road in a bar tacking factory, earning some money. You know, that's what I was doing. You know, I felt lost at school, behind, because when you're going through things and, you know, you're trying to go to school to concentrate on work, it's not working if you're not getting the support, or if you're going through things and, you know, your mind's clouded.
Thank you for that. The other thing I'm going to have to ask you, if you didn't finish school, this would be the assumption, and you were going to work and you had just a regular vocabulary, how were you able to produce so much? Were you, like your friend said, where was it all coming from? Did you sit down with dictionaries and stuff to find out words?
Words were coming. I don't even know what the meanings were. And then I'd search for the word and it's in context. It's just, I don't know. It was just mad. Like, I think, is that a word? I'm thinking, it's come in my mind. I thought, is that even a word? And then I look in the dictionary and then I think, oh, it is a word. And it's in, and I've said it in the right context. So, yeah. You know, I don't feel, you know, you're saying it, I don't feel too confident, but I know when I put it out, my own first book, you know, was just me. We'll see what the public says and the reviews and things like that. So I'll feel confident then when I get, you know, numerous reviews, or when people, I get feedback from numerous of people to tell me, Sam, the word who introduced me to you, he's always telling me off. What are you talking about? You know,
I mean, I could say the same, but I'm
the other thing about academic. I actually went to uni. I graduated last year.
Congratulations.
I went to the music business. So that is my first academic sort of thing that I did. And you know, that was something to prove to myself. That I, you know, I can achieve, and I have got a brain in there somewhere. So, yeah.
The other thing is this, that people say writers are readers, but because of all the things that you were going through, well, you weren't reading. I'm assuming you weren't reading books and books, going to libraries, getting books and reading them. That wasn't part of your journey either.
Definitely not, no.
So, you know what it's saying to us, that there are different ways in which writing comes into people, and we need to recognize it. It doesn't have to be from an academic, university, creative writing degree, master's or anything. you don't have to be a reader to be able to produce words. It's something that is pulled out of you from your own experience, from your experience, and it had to come out. And the other thing you said was healing you. How did that come about? How did these words, some of them you didn't know, you had to go and search out, but as they're coming onto your paper, it was healing you. How was? Can you tell us the process of that before we stamp one of your work?
It's like going over, like, obviously, it's years since I've been through all I've gone through, and I've gone through the processes of when you go through that, and as you get older and time leaves, well, actually, on my 40th birthday, I realised my past was still affecting me. So I sort of said out loud, you know, you're not going to affect me no more. I'm living my life. You're not, you know what I mean? And that's what I've did. And since that day, that depression and them feelings haven't come. But, you know, like I said, tears were hard to come to me now that they're too easy now. writing and thinking about the past and writing about what I had gone through, you know, the tears came, and I've never cried like that before. So it sort of brought a healing to me, you know.
Because as you put it on the paper, even though you may not have a counsellor to counsel you, or you're not going for any therapy, the words that came out of you were the therapy.
Yeah, you know, it's just talking out and talking about the real situations. Like, I had a bad name when I was young because I kept on running away. You know, so people thought I was running away, sleeping around this. I wasn't. I was running away from the man in the house. And when my mum was going to work and I knew I was going to be alone in the house with him, I wasn't going to stay in the house. So I went to my my father's house, but he wasn't there. But I've got two siblings with his woman, so I used to run to that house. That was my safe house. She didn't know what was going on. No one knew what was going on. She thought my mum knew I was there. You know what I mean? And my mum was just saying I was running away, but I was there and I didn't want no one to know I was there, because that was where I felt safe. That was my place I used to run to if I knew I was going to be left in the home alone with this man.
We really treasure your honesty and just sheer honesty. I think it's always important when you're writing, because that also comes true with the passion in which you deliver your work, the passion which you come out with it. You have come into writing due to experiences. It has brought healing to you, and there'll be people listening saying, this is exactly my experience. Can you give us an example of some of your work so others who are in that cloud of depression can see, hey, listen, get a piece of paper, write something down. It could help you.
Yes, I think there's something about, you know, writing words out and speaking them out aloud. I really, truly believe that, you know, speaking and talking and affirmations is what gets me through my thing. And it's a daily work, you know. I don't want to go to doctors and be taking medication and this and that. And you know what I mean? Because I just don't believe in them. I've been like a natural person from a young kid. I've lived on my own from 15. And, you know, I've found my own processes and my own things that work for me. And, you know, natural medication and doctors wasn't for me. I learned that from young.
So, Celine, can you give us one of your beautiful poems, please?
Okay, I'll give you one of them from the very start, when I first started writing, where I was inspired by the ladies that spoke at this protest, that were speaking their truth. I remember one woman, her voice was like howling through the, echoing through the wind. And it, you know, it really was really touching, you know, really, really touching. So this is called Brave Woman. This morning I said a prayer for all you that did the best. This morning I said a prayer for all you that did that others weren't there. Standing there, talking about your pain and despair, expressing the feelings that you endured for many a year. We all know what's going on, but the silence is deafening and the pain still lingers on. No interest or protection from our brothers that should be here standing with us strong. The many triggers that pop up daily, reminders of what was taken, of flowers that were so pure. So you tell me, how are we supposed to forget something when it's in your face, always knocking at the door? The fear, the shame, the guilt, and the what ifs that run through our minds, when we're really seeking that closure and hoping that one day we will find. We act as if we're all alone, going through the motions of life like we're a million in one, when we need to pull together to get that full picture of that one woman's son. One in three of us go through this sexual violence reported in 2013, which means it's far worse today according to the reality of the data, it seems. Being silent and pushing that abuse to the back of our minds is enabling these women and men to continue with these horrendous crimes. Sisters pulling together, supporting and speaking our truth, will give hope, a voice, and no fear of speaking out for our up-and-coming youth. Thank you.
Do you know, I'm here, and I know the listeners, because, you know, Ireland is such a country that women are trying to express themselves in many ways, and you did that eloquently, inspired by another woman. So it's women inspiring women, and that is really touching. Now, one of the things you mentioned in one of the posts that you sent me, your messages, is the fact that you wanted children. You wanted to inspire children to write from a young age the things that happened. Tell us a bit more about that, please.
Like I said in this poem, in 2013, I'd done some research, and it was, in 2012, it was 1 in 4. That was the name of an organisation I visited when I spoke out in 2012 for the last time about my historical abuse. And obviously they're called 1 in 4 because that was the numbers. So when I was writing the poem, I thought, I wonder how much it is today. So 2013, it was 1 in 3. I think 2017, it was 1 in 2. So it's everywhere you look, it's happening. And, you know, the silence is enabling it to continue. So obviously I was a child when it happened to me. And I know I've seen many stories of children. I've even guessed a child was being abused by something she just said to me. I was at a party and next door this little girl said something, and I just went to the net. I said, that girl's being abused. And later on it was right. The father was abusing his children. You know, it was true. So I think the children need to know, be able to speak out that it's wrong. Some of them, if it's happened to them all their lives, they believe it's part of life and that's just how things are. And, you know, some of them that are in them situations, they probably don't know that anything's happening to them until they get to their teenage years, that it's wrong. Because I've heard stories of that, about that as well. And I just need to mention a lady called Afro Rose. She's got a platform, which I was at the protest about. She brought one man out a couple of years ago, and loads of women have come forward and speaking about the historical abuse. It's called His Time Is Up. And she does a YouTube and things like that, where women can go forward, and men have gone forward on the platform as well, not just women, because we truly know that men, you know, suffer this as well. So she's done an amazing job of, you know, bringing it to light and getting people to speak about it. So I'm just want to give kudos to her. She's amazing. Google Afua Rose. She's an activist at heart, and she's done many things to stick up for our men, to stick up for many people. But, you know, she's speaking about the abuse, because there's lots of us out here that are hurting, and, you know, we need to know that, you know, we're not alone, and we've got nothing to be ashamed of, and speak our truth.
Especially doing it through poetry. I really appreciate all that you're doing, being so honest and advocating for the children. Can you just help us to understand how we can get your work so we can be inspired, maybe to write our own truth or give it to somebody that we know that needs to write? When can we expect that publication of Trial and Revelation?
I'm just putting it together. I'm going through the poems and reading them out aloud and editing them, because initially, because my colleague said, are you going to read them out? Are you going to do it? Well, I said, no way. I said, I can't read that out. That's too painful. So then I thought maybe later on down the line I might be strong enough to read them out. So before I send the poetry book out, I want to read it out to make sure it flows correctly, because I've had to take some words out, because when you're writing it in your mind and you're reading it, it's two different things, I've noticed. So I'm reading through them and editing them at the moment and making sure they're followed nicely on from the Trial and Revelations, so you get a good little overall picture. So at the moment, you can get the Trial and Revelations, which is a collaboration. So you get 6 authors in one book. And basically, there's different chapters like God and the Devil, Integrity, Choose Your Side, and other chapters by brilliant people. Like Dr. Leon Moss is based in the USA. We've got Yinka, he's based in Nigeria. We've got Dan, that is based in the UK. And, you know, I think 3 of us are new authors in this book. So if you want to be a new author, you can see how us new authors started off, and there's amazing authors that write books regularly. The Raisin of the 144,000. It's available on Amazon, available on all leading bookstores. Though, if you put The Raisin of the 144,000 by the Golden Team, then you should get it, because I think there's a lot of titles with that name.
So that's your first book, and we could look forward to the second book, which is Trials and Revelations. This is Trials and Tribulations.
Trials and Revelations. The book cover's getting done as I speak. So the book cover will be out soon, and I'm working through the poem. So, yeah.
Before you leave us, can you give us another poem, please?
I've written this one, which I want to record and read out. It's about the Grammys. And as long as, you know, I do the Britain's Got Reggae, I'm very passionate about the reggae. I'm very passionate about the way, the direction the music is going and the effect it's having on our children, the sexuality, the violent lyrics and things like that. So basically it's the children again. You know, so I wrote one when I saw the Grammys, Kabaka Pyramid rant won, congratulations to him. But when I watched it and the reviews about it and the way there was sort of worshipping Satan, and it was just devilish. That's what I was looking at. And I really don't think any reggae artist should aspire for a Grammy. We need our own awards to partake in that. I just don't think it was right. And it's like they were doing rituals on the stage, you know, with Sam Smith and the likes. So I think as reggae artists, we need to be doing what is seen is right and not partaking in certain things. I mean, that's just me, I'm one person, but I'm very opinionative and I just say what I think, and I will be recording this and I will be putting it on my reggae platform. And I know a lot of people feel the same way as well. All right, so here it goes. I've never read it out to anybody, so it's called The Grammys. Grammys 2023, I see the highlights, oh what a mess. It's got the devil sitting on the throne, it needs a redress. Why would conscious reggae want to play a part in this farce? Pfizer, the sponsor, so blatant they don't have any remorse. The Grammys has been something that we artists aspire to. I would knock it on its head if I was you. You mean you was there and you never see Wagwan? They're arriving on Devil Sam Smith, who gave the Grammy to the woman. All the agendas are under one roof. We need to step back and have our own proof. We don't need their standards to approve our talents. We need to build our own, because the world deserves a balance. Are you going to still aspire for a Grammy and pretend you can't see? We can't be building Satan's agenda and his legacy. You need to pick your side for the whole world to see. Or are you so lost and caught up in this mess and lost in all integrity? Kabaka should be the last to pick up this award. After seeing the 2023 highlights, no Rasta, no reggae artist should forward. So I'm calling on the artists that are supposed to be role models for our youth. Have you lost your way? Let's see who's going to be applying. Are you in cahoots? This thing is deceiving you. It's all very satanic. Why would you want to get that award? You're hungry for fame. Find another dynamic. Caperton and Sibley and the ones that don't bow. Reggae needs a redress and you guys need to step forward and burn the fire on the Grammys now.
Well, that is hard hitting. That's straight to the point. No messing about there. And tell me, what is your influence? Because a lot of the time you mention Satan, you mention devil, and some people say, okay, where is she coming from? We know she's had all these things happen to her and she writes from her heart, and we can understand from the two poems you've just read. But what would you say was your greatest inspiration, apart from obviously your experiences?
I think it's my experiences and what I see. I'm not a writer that can write fiction and come up with things, whatever. It's things I see, things I hear, what I've been through, real life experiences that I draw from. Like the Grammys, that poem there, like the whole had devil horns on, they had Satan written on the stage. Like, that's why the devil and Satan's, because that's what it was, you know. The whole audience had the devil horns on, you know. They had Satan in big red letters on the stage, and Sam Smith was dressed as a devil, sat on a throne. So, yes, that's what I was inspired from. It's truthful. I'm not making it up. This is what I saw, you know, and that's what inspired me to write that poem. And same with the other poems. It's my experiences or what I see. Sometimes I've been hoovering, and because I know now I have to write notes, because I come up with things or phrases in my mind.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that sounds good, and I don't write it down. So now, like, I'm hoovering and something will come into my mind, or someone will say something, and then I have to go and write it down so I can remember it, because I forget. But even like hoovering and things like that, I get things come to my mind. I'm just inspired by anything and anything. It could be my plant, you know, so yeah.
Listen, you are an absolute inspiration. Just to finish off, what would be your advice to other women, other men out there that wants to write from experiential point of view?
Just write. Like, I see, if I look at something, I'll, if I want to write about something, you have to look at it from all different directions, maybe from the outside looking in, from the inside looking out. You know, how would that feel? Try to describe it as best as you can, or put yourself in their shoes. And, you know, if you want to start writing, just get the pen out and start. Just start. That was me. I said, for years, I said, I'm going to write. It didn't start till I got the pen out and started writing. You know, just start making memoirs, putting notes down, you know, just do what you can. Like, you know, if you really want to do it, just start, you know. And if you want encouragement, we've actually got a program. I don't know if this is allowed on, with Golden Child Promotions, which I've got a lot of people. Sam the Word came through, was on there to do his book. So we want to include, you know, encourage people that think it's difficult and or too expensive, because we've got a deal where we do everything for you. We've got $9.99 a month at the moment. You can just register and we'll get a 1 hour a week to help you get through your book. And it's people like us, people that don't think they'll ever have a chance to write a book. I come from poor areas, ghettos and things like that, and I didn't finish school, so writing seems like, oh, I can't write a book. But, you know, through Adrian and supporting me, you know, it's made it possible for me, and I can see the vision, and I can see I actually can get a book out. So that's encouraging for me to continue to write. So if you want any help, you can just get in touch.
And what's that website?
Golden Child Promotions Publishing.
I'm sure many people will get in touch with you. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, get in on the deal while it's $9.99, because it's going to go up exponentially.
Listen, it's been tremendous to just have you and have your inspiration. And we hope you'll come back again and tell us when the new book is launched. Meanwhile, we'll try and get hold of Trial and Tribulation and go to Amazon and try and get that. And also the website where we can actually see people who want to write, who has no experience but can be supported. That is really important, because we believe here that everyone has a story, and there's no point in keeping it, because you don't know who your story is going to touch. You've touched us today. Thank you.
They have got a story. Everyone has got a story in them. And, you know, we've got history books in there. Don't let them write your story. Write your own story. Write your own experiences. Don't make them write what you are, who you are for you. That's all I've got to say.
I'm going to give you, that's a beautiful last word. Thank you. And very inspirational for anyone that feels they're nothing. You have a story to write. Take care.
And you are something as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good time. Bye-bye.
And
have
you.
A good day. Bye-bye.
And thanks for having me. Bye.
This is Near FM
90.3.